Day. Intelligence. The Bible indicates that man should pray without ceasing. Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science, as well as the author of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, begins the book, which is the textbook of Christian Science, with the topic of prayer. That's the first chapter. Jesus, even though he was preaching to large audiences, it indicated that he would go up into a mountain and pray. He was obviously living prayer, as is indicated by the results of his life, the effectiveness of what he did. The only thing he was ineffective at doing was waking up the population. But then that was not his responsibility. His responsibility was to make available to them the truth. But each one needs to wake up on their own. Each one needs to let it penetrate their thought and discipline their life to follow these spiritual thoughts. The Christ consciousness, which is really reflecting God, reflecting what Jesus taught. Being the Christ consciousness. It is not the teacher's responsibility to change unilaterally the thought of the student. The student has to let their thoughts be influenced and awakened by the truth. Jesus was not able to do much in the way of healing in Galilee because they were not ready to accept that he was not a carpenter or a boy, but he was a messenger from God. They did not accept that. So he did not spend time there. He devoted his efforts to those who were receptive. What are we going to let our thought accept? What are we going to open the door to our thought? One of the images depicted of Jesus, and we have it on our website, as a matter of fact, and that is of knocking on a door. But we individually must open the door. And the only way we will remember to do what he is trying to teach us to do by giving us the greatest example there could possibly be in everything he said, everything he was thinking, and everything he was doing. Is for us to do it. We must do it. The great teachers require their students to do what they're taught. Mary Baker Eddy, in her class in the College of Metaphysics, required her students to go out and heal. That was a part of the class. That was while they were taking the class. One only remembers what they are to do and how they're to do it if they do it and are successful at doing it, which means they must adjust what they are doing until it is successful. Frederick Rawson was a great example of that because he thought of healing as testing, experimenting. And if it was successful, he would know that he was doing the right thing. If it was not successful, then he would know that he was making a mistake somewhere. Maria Brunson is one of the authors featured on our website. It's in the header, so she, as well as Mr. Rawson, show up on every page of the website. And she gave a series of seminars, and she teaches how one must utilize the qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and whatever of those seven, whatever thought comes to one first, that they should explore that. And if they're still having trouble after they thoroughly treat themselves on that particular synonymous term for God, which means going through the qualities of that particular synonymous term and comparing it in their thought to what they have been entertaining, the key is to review the qualities in comparison to what one is living. Because if a problem occurs, what one is living includes some error that needs to be discovered and corrected. So she recommends to let your thought go to wherever it wants to go, explore it, and if there's still a problem, then you have to work backwards. And she refers to Genesis chapter 1, whereby the order of development is in the order of the definition of God that Mary Baker Eddy provides on page 465 in chapter 14, recapitulation of the textbook. And that is, here's the complete definition: God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So if one is attracted to the word life, for example, and they go through the process that was just described, and they're still having a problem, then they need to go back to the synonymous term prior to that, which is principle. One may want to consider studying Helen Wright's book, which is entitled Your Divinity Revealed, because there's a chapter on each one of the seven synonymous terms giving an in-depth analysis of the words that are the elements of that synonymous term of mind and spirit and so forth. So one chapter is on each one of the seven synonymous terms. And if one studies those chapters thoroughly and practices what they are reading, they will see healing. So we need to know what the basic meaning is of those seven synonymous terms, and we have to examine our life, which includes thought, speech, and action, to see if we're in alignment with what those qualities of God represent. And she explains that you need to go back to the prior one, just as I mentioned. If we're working on life, we go back to principle and so forth. But we need to know what those terms mean. So we need to study them thoroughly and practice them. Practicing enables us to remember what they are. Very important to practice what we are learning. Every day is a practice. Every moment in time is an opportunity to filter. We have an opportunity to either reflect intelligence or chaos. In other words, we can make intelligent decisions moment by moment as we're experiencing the day, or we can just take things as they come. If we're working on something, we let a diversion or an interruption redirect our plan. But is that an intelligent thing to do? One should consider that before they change what they're doing, before they accept a diversion or a stoppage or a reversal to what they're doing, that they go to God first and ask. In other words, go to what the definition of God is and relate it to that definition of God and say, where does this activity that is attempting to divert my attention fit in? It's like the professor that hung a white sheet across the room. Must have been a small room or a big sheet. Had a little black dot in the middle. And he asked his students, what do you see? And they ended up focusing on the little black dot. The point of the example was that you've got to look at the big picture, which is the white sheet. In fact, the white sheet is really clean, and it's up to one to create, mold their own big picture. In other words, what am I going to let be my guide? Am I going to let a little stone in the road be my focus? A little black dot on the white sheet? Or am I going to be constantly looking at the big picture? And of course, the big picture is infinity, which is God. What kind of a plan and design am I going to follow today? This morning, this hour, this minute, this moment, moment being the smallest measurement of time. This is not to say that we don't accept a needed adjustment, because life is constant adjustments. Unless we're God, and I haven't met anyone that fills those shoes yet, then we don't know what is in the plan and design for us. I knew a practitioner one time, and he told me that the first thing he did was ask God, what do you want me to do today? He didn't start out with a plan. He started out with asking the infinite source of intelligence what he should be doing. We must let intelligence guide us in everything we do. Anyone that uses a computer, and a lot of people use cell phones as their computer, has an opportunity to utilize software that is a reminder. There's software that will come up with a little banner or a note, sticky note. That is a reminder. We can put it on any kind of an interval as an alarm to remind us. Remind us to be intelligent. Are we intelligent in what we're doing at this moment? Mary Baker Eddy says that the good we do and embody is the only power obtainable. Power is a measurement of progress, a measurement of performance. They advertise an engine in a car with horsepower, but all that means is that that is the capability under certain conditions. But it means nothing if the engine is just sitting on the floor, or even if it's installed in a car ready to run. Unless you turn on the key and start the engine and you start performing. That is probably the maximum performance if one is under racing conditions. Racing on a racetrack or on a drag strip or whatever. That's the power output that the engine is capable of performing if all the conditions are met under which it is measured. Well, goodness is the ingredient for performance, and performance is then measured as power. And the power we have experienced throughout the day is based on the good that we've been involved in throughout the day. And good is not static, it's dynamic. If we want a beautiful day, we need to be doing beautiful things. You can't be self-centered. Ego does not produce goodness, because the only real ego is God. So if it is personal will, personal ego, arrogance, that puts us in reverse quickly. If we want to reflect God, we have to know what the qualities of God are, and we need to be exercising those qualities. We need to be letting those qualities guide us. Bicknell Young, one of the popular Christian Science practitioners back in the early 1900s, indicated that when people came to him and wanted him to help them solve a business problem, he found that the common problem was they didn't know their business. Do we know what we are doing? No matter what it is, we could be a tennis player, or we could be a homemaker, or we could be a rocket scientist. Do we know what we're doing? Do we know our business? Well, the primary business is to be reflecting the qualities of God. And if we do that, other things will be presented which give us opportunities to advance in what we're doing. But we can't go into a business, for example, and know nothing about it and just expect there to be beautiful results without us even knowing the principles of that business. Mary Baker Eddy asked Laura Sargent, when she was living with her in Chestnut or in Pleasant View in Concord, New Hampshire, she said, "Do you sometimes forget?" And Laura said, "Mind never forgets." So we need to realize that if we have a need to know something, that that will be revealed to us. If we know, if we understand, even have an inkling of understanding that God is the great I Am, all-knowing. That's the definition of God in the glossary of Science and Health. God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal. We may as well forget about trying to take credit for knowing something, because all real knowing is in something much bigger. It's on the white sheet. It's the big picture. And it's infinite. Mary Baker Eddy, in one of her most advanced, if not her most advanced writing, is Christ and Christmas. And she has illustrations in there. And the final illustration is blank. And that is a symbol for infinity, which means that what has come to her as a demonstration in writing the book, Christ and Christmas, she had to leave the final illustration totally untouched by her thought, so it would be open for infinite development. Jesus left this earth because he said, "I have more to say, more to teach, but you're not ready for it." Mary Baker Eddy, in Christ and Christmas, she leaves the final illustration blank for further development. For when the population is ready to advance further, the infinity, the infinitude of thought, the infinitude of progress is right there. When we're ready, we can take any step that we're ready to take. In the Bible, it says precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And everyone probably knows what happens when a turtle races a rabbit. The rabbit takes off real fast, gets tired, and while it's sleeping or resting, the turtle walks right on by. The turtle wins the race because the turtle is consistent. A little bit here, a little bit there. Compounding its effort. And when we compound our effort, it's geometric, because we're building on a higher and higher level of understanding. If we understand five things about the synonymous term for mind, and then we add a new understanding on a new term for mind, new to us, then we're building on a foundation of six. We started out with building on nothing, and we learned one term, maybe by studying Helen Wright's book that was mentioned earlier. One of the important things that comes to my thought is creative ability, because that's where enlightenment comes from. The creative ability then brings forth a new idea. The new idea has to be coupled with intelligence, wisdom, and knowing, capability. Facility. There's so many words that describe mind. And if we learn one new one today, then we have a foundation of 0 + 1 = 1. If we learn another one tomorrow, we have 1 + 1 = 2. Then we have 2 + 1 = 3. So our foundation is getting larger and larger, and so we're adding to a larger foundation, and it's not linear, it's geometric. Because we're starting with a larger foundation. Here a little, there a little. We don't have to go to the moon in one day. We don't have to walk on water the first day that we study Christian Science. We only need to learn one little new thing and live it. Practice it. Practice it in everything we think, say, and do. Practice it on the ones that we love. Practice it on the ones that we think we don't love. Practice it on the ones that, in other words, by practicing it on someone, I'm talking about the way we think about them or the way we interact with them. And of course, we start with our own thought because we have to be correcting our thought. We need to be cleaning out anything that needs to be cleaned out. And the easiest way to do that is to occupy our thought throughout the day with intelligent thinking, not with a vacuum that will let anything into their thought that is there. And a vacuum, think of a vacuum as picking up the dirt. We don't want to be like a vacuum and pick up everything. We want to be like a filter that sifts everything. Or like in chemistry, you let the essence come out of the mixture. We're looking for the essence. Our day needs to be intelligence, which is exercising the essence, the purity. The day will be filled with good, which means power, if we do the constant filtering with intelligence. We have to be intelligent in thinking about what is our substance. Mary Baker Eddy tells us that spirit is the only substance. The Bible says God is spirit, as translated by J.B. Phillips. The King James Version says God is a spirit. But the more pure definition is that God is spirit. So if spirit is the substance, which it is, then we have to be thinking on a spiritual level. We have to be looking through the lens of spirit in all the looking we do. Several of the great philosophers in the past have indicated that what we see is what is in our own thoughts. Jesus saw the perfect man because that was in his thought. God was in his thought. He didn't see a sinning mortal man. That's what a sinning mortal man would see. They would see others as a sinning mortal man. Or as a subject that they could steal or rob from. Our thought has to be pure if we're going to have a life of purity. If we're going to advance, if we're going to have peace as opposed to chaos. Now, by peace, I mean that we are confident that God is the one power and omnipresent. I don't mean that we're going to be lazy or we're going to be sleeping. I'm talking about activity being realized as the only life. We have to be active in reflecting God. If we want a day of beauty and progress, it's not one where we are passive. Peace is not passive. Peace is active. It's dynamic. Infinite progress. Is concrete being. Concrete being a symbol of permanence, strength. We think of water as being soft. We can touch it. We can put our hand into it. But if it's frozen, it's a different character. If it's in a stream running, mountain stream, it can smooth out rocks. In fact, it turns them to sand. That's the sand in the bottom of the river, the stream. Concrete is powder before it is mixed with water. You can put all the ingredients except water together and mix them up for concrete. And it's nothing until you add the water and let it dry. That's an example of unity. Each element by itself is not very good, doesn't offer much. But together in unity, it offers what holds up buildings, skyscrapers, 1,000 or more feet tall, 100 stories, 100, and I don't know what the tallest one is now, but it's tall, built with concrete and steel. The steel by itself doesn't do it. It needs to have concrete also. The pipeline that went from Russia to Europe had concrete around the steel to reinforce it. Infinite progress is concrete being. Doing continuous good is a concrete day. We can reduce that to a morning or afternoon or evening or night. We can reduce it to an hour, a minute, a second, a moment. If we want it to be strong, if we want it to be able to reject confusion and temptation by so-called mortal mind suggestion, then we've got to use concrete, which means we've got to use good. Our activities need to be good. Are we efficient? They're not good if they're wasteful. My dad taught me at a very young age, probably when I was about 3 or 4 years old, to make things convenient. If you're outside working in the yard, for example, and you've got a wheelbarrow that is right in your path, move it over to the side so you don't have to walk around it each time that you're going from one side of it to the other. You move it out of the way so that your path is clear. Convenient. He said, make it convenient. It means use intelligence. One needs to be intelligent when they think about the senses. Soul is the synonymous term for God that represents sense. And I'm talking seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. And since spirit is the only substance, those senses in reality are spiritual senses. They're not material. We think of them as material. But we need to translate, look through the lens of spirit. If we view everything from a spiritual sense, then we are going to be looking at the perfect man like Jesus did instead of a sinning mortal man. I'm talking about when we're looking in the mirror, as well as thinking about anyone or anything, any event. So we must be intelligent in the way we are viewing our senses and utilizing them. Same with principle. Principle represents system and structure. Are we utilizing an intelligent principle and structure? Like Big Now Young says, do you know your business? Whatever it is. That's an intelligent system and structure by knowing the principle of what we're doing. We can't be driving with our eyes closed. I'm aware that they make cars that are self-driving. I don't think it's probably a smart idea to go to sleep while you're letting that self-driving car go down the road, making all the decisions that one would normally make. That's probably not an intelligent thing to do. And that really is the next synonymous term for God, which is life. How are we living? Are we living with our eyes closed, or an intelligent way by being alert? The same thing applies to all of the synonymous terms for God. Are we letting them be a network? I was just giving some examples of intelligence, which is a term for, you know, for mind, one of the ingredients of mind, and how that can be used in each of the other synonymous terms. Same for truth. Are we intelligent in the way we are determining what truth is? Are we searching for the truth in an intelligent way? Or we just want to wait till it hits us in the face? Mary Baker Eddy says, to heal, we need to analyze to find the error. We need to do it in an intelligent way. That does not mean that we look at the symptom, because the symptom usually is a decoy, because that's the way so-called mortal mind operates. It operates as a decoy. If you look at the way government operates, and if it's a corrupt government, as it appears that almost every single one is, maybe everyone is, they mock the truth. They make the name of a new law that they're passing with a title that is the opposite of what the law is. Evil in action. We need to analyze. Forget the people. We can't personalize. We got to just think about how evil operates. We can't trust evil. Someone asked one of the top practitioners in Mary Baker Eddy's day, says, "You have no respect at all for evil." He said, well, you can imagine what he may have said. Jesus overthrew the money changers' tables. That's the respect for evil we have. We have to turn it over. We have to reject it totally. We have to let our thought be filled with truth and spirit, not error and evil. Good is the opposite of evil. And good is a term that is assigned to spirit. The good we do and embody means we've got to be doing spiritual things. We have such opportunity to have a productive day, not filled with waste and idleness, but with doing beautiful things, things of progress, things that help humanity, things that help our fellow man. And we start with ourselves. In fact, we end with ourselves. Because our obligation is to take care of our own thought, not to take care of someone else's thought. If we take care of our thought and someone else occurs to us in our thought, then we will automatically be viewing it from a spiritual viewpoint, being rid of personality and filled with ideas and reflections of truth. The day can be filled with intelligent activity if the effort is made, if we let intelligence guide us, if we let God be the first place we go instead of waiting until there's desperation and we have no alternative, because we've run out of human solutions, because they don't work. Don't wait till everything else has failed. Go there first. Take the shortcut path to success by staying on the path of truth. Amen.